Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very, very well. I'm very tired, but I'm doing very well.
Yeah, I was going to apologise. Well, I am going to apologise.
I think you should.
I was a bit off form last week, listening back, editing it. I'd been back from Munich from a stag do for a couple of days and I wasn't quite there.
I think that if 2 days after the stag do you were still on your knees, it must have been one hell of a do.
It was. I didn't, you know, it wasn't that heavy. I didn't drink that crazily. I think it was just lack of sleep, really.
Jet lag between Germany and here.
Yeah, the 2 hour difference. One hour, was it? I don't know.
Yeah, 1 hour.
1 hour difference. Yeah. So I apologise for that. I'm back on form this week, as you can tell. I sound bright as a button, but this week it's you, Sean.
Yeah, but I'm still bright as a button. I'm exhausted, but I'm an exhausted button. I'm okay. Yeah.
You're a miracle. How do you do it?
Meditation. It's really good.
Mm, yeah. You're meditating hard at the moment.
It makes the difference. It doesn't make the difference.
Yeah.
5-to-1 ratio. So 10 minutes of good, relaxed meditation is like 50 minutes of sleep.
Yeah.
So that's the way I catch up. Because yesterday I was up at 4:30 and I didn't finish working till about 10:30. And that was, then I had to drive back. It was like a 40-minute drive back, something like that. I can't remember what time I got back, but it was all a bit bonkers.
Driving on that much sleep, that's good. It's healthy. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. For anyone who's new to this show and you don't know who we are, what we do, go to liveinthepresent.co.uk and have a look around there. Have a little poke around. There's some free goodies we'll send you if you put your email address into into one of the boxes there. This week, we're not talking about loneliness. We'll put that back a week because there's been some big news this week. You may have heard. Chap called Nelson Mandela died last week, didn't he? At the was he 95, 93, something?
Yeah,
he was old.
He was old, but
he lived quite a life. So we're going to talk about him and other people like him and his legacy, basically, aren't we, Sean?
I think that what we're looking at is the idea: is there an alternative in the world to violent and negative action?
Mm.
Because people like Nelson Mandela represent an alternative to going to war.
Is it Mandela or Mandela?
Well, I'd say Mandela.
Okay, we'll do both. I'll do Mandela, you do Mandela.
Mandela.
So everyone's happy.
Yeah, it feels more comfortable.
Sorry.
I'm okay.
I've tracked then what we said.
No, I think if you begin to look at Gandhi and you look at Nelson Mandela, you look at Martin Luther King, that they represent alternatives to what I would see as people like Bush and Blair who decide to go to war.
Yeah.
And indeed, people like Bin Laden, who see violence and death and as a positive action. And I have problems with that.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough. You're not the only one. But we'll get into that. This could be a little bit political, this one.
Yeah, it could be.
Which is cool. Get a bit spicy. We'll get into that later. First up, I've already apologised for my fatigue last week. I don't know. I'm not apologising for this, but I'm just making light of the situation that sometimes I can be a little bit flippant about serious issues, such as your relationship with your dad, who used to beat you up. And see, you're laughing now. How am I supposed to not laugh about it? Yeah. We were discussing it before we came on air about my flippancy and occasional insensitivity, weren't we?
Yeah, and I think that as an insensitive person, it's quite appropriate sometimes. No, I think that the issue is that in these podcasts, very often we're attempting to deal with issues that can be a bit difficult. And if you listen to me droning on about all the clients that I work with and the miserable situations that I'm in, you probably will be depressed and want to go and cut your throats or something. And I think that our interactions, from my point of view, are good because you lift things up. And that's the feedback I get, is that people like us working, I was going to say like us as a couple, that sounds a bit odd, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. People know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm aware of it. I was thinking about it because we went out for dinner, didn't we, with some pals on Friday, and we were making light of the situation with your dad quite a lot. Oh, here goes Sean about his dad again, laughing about it, but, you know, I'd thought maybe I was going a bit OTT with the tomfoolery, but I know you're cool with it. But if there's anyone out there thinking I'm a heartless bastard,
then it's true.
I use humour as a defence mechanism.
Which is something you probably need therapy for. But that's okay. That's all right. That's okay. I'm sure we can arrange that.
I'm crying myself to sleep. Yeah. So we've been out for dinner this week, haven't we, Sean?
Yeah, we went to dinner with Dav and Cherie. And I think we put a link up last week for Dav's website.
Yeah, symbolsoflight.co.uk. Yeah,
and Dav does Reiki and hands-on healing. Mm. And because I damaged my leg, I had a lovely session with him.
Yeah.
And I nearly fell asleep. It was great.
You disappeared upstairs for 10 minutes, didn't you?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Yeah. The man has hot hands.
Yeah, did you feel the energy?
Yeah. It's a very strange feeling. If you've never had it, it's quite a wonderful thing to do. It does change the way that all the muscles in your body are working, that you have this relaxed state. Very, very deep. It's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Fascinating. Yeah, that was good fun, wasn't it?
We
had a couple of glasses of wine and what have you.
Yeah.
It was all good fun.
And you've recovered from that already.
Oh, yeah. So you're... I felt great. It was obviously good red wine. It was great the next day.
Good. Yeah, I'd like to point out that you actually forgot your wine and you didn't take any wine.
Yeah, I didn't take an offering, did I? That's bad form, that. Sorry, guys. I'll sort you out next time we meet. Let's should we dive into our topic?
Yep.
I'm not sure where this one's going to take us, but it's going to be interesting. I put the title as Love versus Hate, Mandela's Legacy. This could get a bit political, as we've already said. My history has never been that hot, really. Even at school, it was the one subject I could never get, so I've been reading up on Mandela. Because the interesting thing about after he died last week, he obviously social media just like exploded and the news with, you know, heartfelt condolences and how amazing he was, which is cool. But then you see a couple of things in all that thickness of people having a bit of a pop, saying, oh, he wasn't all he's cracked up to be, he was a terrorist, etc., etc., read this, read that. So I dived a little bit into that, it was quite interesting. But on the whole, his legacy is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think that if we took anybody's life and we took it apart, we could find things to be negative about.
Mm.
Yeah, even you, even me. You know, there would be a negative.
You.
So the dark side of Sean Orford,
you
know, would make a movie at least.
Well, we will one day. Cause I've heard some of its incredible stuff.
I think that we should.
I'm going to blow the whistle on you.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. But any of us are like that. That we've, and perhaps... Sometimes we have to go through the dark, difficult stuff to get to being a positive, light person.
He did. Well, Mandela did, from what I read, my Wikipedia knowledge of him, and a couple of movies that I've seen. He went there, and it, in some ways, it sounds like his 28 years in jail.
Yeah.
He was fortunate to get that at that stage of his life, because he was close, I think, to... Well, I think he was considered a terrorist at the time.
But the problem with that concept of terrorism, though, that the idea that one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, it depends on who wins.
Yeah,
you know, we have a story. The Brits and the Yanks have a story about the Second World War, which is about what heroes everybody is because we won. If it had gone the other way, we'd all be speaking German, perhaps, and the world would be very different. But the bad guys would be people like Churchill.
Yeah.
Whereas because we won, the bad guy is Hitler. And I'm not making any judgment in that. What I'm saying is that it's the victors that write history.
Yeah.
And it gets very warped in that sense.
True.
So, I mean, from that point of view, had Mandela not come out of prison and taken up the role that he did, he would have been written off as a terrorist who had been imprisoned and would have died in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, and history would have seen it that way.
He obviously had nearly 30 years in prison to think about things or consider what he would do when if he did get out, because he was given a life sentence, but obviously there's a lot of pressure to get him out in the end.
Yeah.
And he did. But you wonder at what stage of his jail term things started changing for him, or he started developing these new ideas and different approach to things. Because before he went in, he was going around, from what I've read, countries and trying to gain support for military action and, you know, buying weapons and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which that was halted because he was captured and thrown in jail.
What we need to look at is this man comes out of prison after all that time, and he was in a position where he could have created a bloodbath. He could have had every white person in South Africa disposed of. And he didn't. He did exactly the reverse. In the Truth and Reconciliation committee that was set up, the deal was that if people were prepared to come along and admit what they'd done and face up to what they'd done, then that would be enough. People had repented, as it were.
Yep.
Which is a very religious way of looking at things, really. But the idea that forgiveness is there for people that face up to what they've done was such a powerful concept. And that's the big legacy to me, is that iconic thing of not creating violence but using the alternative. And we have so many examples of people who choose to go to war. And one of the magic things about whoever goes to war is God's on their side. Mm. There's always this idea about, you know, we are right and we are doing the good thing. But God can't be on everybody's side, or maybe God is on everybody's side. But that idea that we're special because we have God on our side has to be a nonsense. And in terms of being human beings, if there's a choice between violence and peace and love, which do we go for? And so often we choose to go for the violence rather than the love and the peace. And for me, that goes right the way down to us as couples,
yeah,
and families and the whole thing. And for me, this time of year, coming up to Christmas, I'm dealing with all the people that are going through the losses of bereavement and stuff like that, first year without somebody, but also the pressure that's coming on, and it's been on with the recession, mm-hmm, and it's increasing now, is with couples. And at the moment, I'm working with lots of couples, and I know that after Christmas, there's going to be even more couples that are in conflict. And in when you're in that situation and you're working through it, either you work together and you create peace and harmony between you, or you create a war. And that's what we're doing at a society level, as a human race. You know, what's our choices? Are we creating heaven or hell? Because mm-hmm, we do have the ability to create either. And so often we choose to create hell.
Yep.
Yeah, all in the name of God, usually. You know, so we get a lot of religiosity in it.
Mm. All right, well, this is interesting, bring it down to the smaller scale. Not talking about guerrilla warfare and like in nations, but on down to couples, because it's so easy, isn't it? In just a small, well, just have a small argument for the sake of it. It's easy just to lash out and say something you're going to regret rather than bite your tongue and hold it in and then either apologise or forgive the person for whatever they've said or done. So, I mean, how do you get people to change when you're dealing with couples therapy?
The issue is about waking up. It's about becoming aware of what we say and what we think and what we feel. And that is a mindful awareness activity. It's about waking up always. And most people start life in a state of deep asleepness. You know, all they're interested in, I mean, a child's interested in having its needs met. You know, I've got a bladder, I've got a bowel, I've got a mouth, I need food, I need to empty it out the other end. And it's all about me, me, me. Cry, yeah. Cry, cry. Yeah. As we start to grow and we need to learn to socialise, we have to let go of our own egos to take other people into account. And some people manage that and some people don't.
Mm.
Some people late on in life are ultimately selfish and demanding of themselves all the time. So the world is full in that sense of givers and takers. And someone like Mandela in that situation was a giver. He was trying to give something. He didn't want to take anything back.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have done, but he chose to be a giver. And we have other examples of that. So for me, people like Gandhi, who stood up against the whole of the British Empire and won peacefully.
Yep. Well, again, my shoe wasn't too hot on Gandhi until last night as I watched the movie, the 1982 movie. So I've got Hollywood's version of events.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, obviously, I was aware of kind of the guy and what he'd done, but amazing story, amazing story. And I didn't actually know about his background and as a lawyer and that kind of thing. To where he was at the end.
But again, he had a choice, and he could have used his position to create awful bloodshed.
Yeah.
And whenever there was conflict, he would do things like start to go into a fasting situation.
Yeah.
And tell people stop to doing what they were doing.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
And the other person who stands out like an icon to me in recent history is Martin Luther King, who, again, was someone who said, no, let's do this with peace and love.
Mm-hmm.
And although he ended up being shot, like Kennedy did, he was in a situation where the changes that came about in American politics and the emancipation of black people in America was down to people like him.
Mm.
There's always going to be a story. I don't know whether you're aware of Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that you have this conflict between the Malcolm X, which is perceived as being quite violent, as opposed to Martin Luther King, who's quite passive in that. Well, no, passive is the wrong word. Maybe his world wasn't passive, it was active, but it wasn't negatively active, it was positively active.
Yeah.
Yeah? So from my point of view, and like I say, we're right on the edge of politics here, I feel at odds with things like the war that's gone on in Iraq and Afghanistan. And in that, I would never, ever decry the soldiers, the men and the women who've gone out and done that, because I think that those people have sacrificed themselves in amazing ways, and I think they are amazing people.
Yeah, no doubt.
The sad thing is, to me, it's a bit like the First World War, where we have lions that are led by donkeys. And when you look at the people that have inspired those wars, you know, I am really not sure as to the rightness of people like Tony Blair or George Bush. And I know that if they were required to account for themselves at the Court of Hague, at the Court of Human Rights, that kind of thing, I'm not quite sure how they would do it. And I'm not quite sure how they could justify what they've done.
Mm.
And for me, that is a huge conflict. And that isn't political, it's moral.
Yep.
Yeah, there's something to me which is about, we have that choice. Are we going to create peace and love? And whether it's personally, whether it's in our relationships, whether it's where we work, whether it's in our culture, in our society or our country, or whether it's as a human race. Because there is enough of everything already. There's enough food for everybody. There's enough of everything for everybody, but we're too silly to be able to share it between us. And that's what love is about.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Russell Brand interviews on YouTube.
Yeah.
He's gone from stand-up comic to actor to since his Jeremy Paxman interview a couple of months ago.
That was wonderful.
Kind of political hero to some or idiot to others, depending on you. But all of a sudden, you know, serious journalists are craving his opinion on all sorts of things. So he's using the platform pretty well, I think. He's obviously endlessly entertaining from my point of view. I think he's a funny guy.
Yeah. But the thing is that what he's saying is that just because the political order that we live under is there, it doesn't mean to say that we have to accept it. And that non-acceptance doesn't have to be anarchy or violence. But the ability, and I think that's one good thing about living, certainly in Britain, and certainly about living in the West, is that in the main, we do have the right of self-expression. I mean,
yeah.
I can open the window and shout out the window, you know, David Cameron is a complete and utter nitwit, you know, or worse. And I know that I can go to bed and I'm okay. There's other countries where if I did the same thing, I might end up in prison or whatever. Yeah,
yeah,
so, I mean, you have to accept the fact that we do have good amounts of freedom in this country.
Oh, yeah, very lucky.
But that doesn't mean to say that that's the end of the journey.
Yeah, still work to be done, eh?
Yeah, yeah. But if we take it back to the issues of our own world, is our own world non-violent or is it violent? And one of the things that certainly if you look at Buddhist philosophies, what they would say is that to think about doing something is actually no different to doing it, because the thought or the emotion is the precursor of action. So if you're sat there thinking, I'd really like to punch this person in the face, I want to chop them up in bits and a mincer, that's actually, in a way, as bad as doing it.
Yep.
Because we're creating that same kind of negative chemistry and negative feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So that it comes back to the work that you and I and Ree did and David and Sharon when we were running the courses on the 10 steps about live in the present and let go. Step number one is about being able to let go of the past, being able to cut the emotional attachments that we have to the negative associations with past events, past people, past experience, so that it stops dragging us back. And that's what things like vendettas are about. It's about people not being able to let go.
Yep.
And one of the things that I said to you earlier on, and you just laughed, I said,
what?
You know, well, were there people from your past who you felt negative about, you know, someone who nicked your lolly in the playground or something?
Yeah, I know. Well, part of the course, wasn't it, was early on, and was it the first step? Or
yeah, yeah.
Just to write down people in your past who, you know, you can think, when you think of them, you kind of start grinding your teeth. And I just couldn't think of anyone, really. Which is, obviously, it's a good thing, really.
Yeah.
But then everyone else in the room is kind of making lists of people. Blimey. And I think when I was at school, I always thought myself as a bit of a wuss and a bit of, I'd never stand up, or I'd always just kind of, if someone had a go at me for things, it'd just kind of wash over me. And at the time, I thought, oh, I'm a bit of a wuss, I should stand up for myself a bit more. But looking back, I think I was just good at just letting it go and not worrying about it, which is cool. So I was quite lucky to learn that early on, I guess. But a lot of people out there may be thinking to themselves, yeah, I've got a list of I can make pages and pages of people that I'm...
Yeah. But therapeutically, I can work with people that are in their 40s, 50s and 60s, and they're still holding grudges about people when they were 10, you know, 15.
Yeah.
And they're still holding this stuff. Or the classic is, when you go through the divorce situation or the breakup of a relationship, you know, how clean is that breakup? And the cleanliness in a relationship, doing the housework, is about being able to let go of the negative attachments, because that's what we carry on. And that can be hugely, hugely difficult.
How much work can it take to let go of these things?
A lot for some people, especially if people have been hurt emotionally or financially. You know, the financial hit is a hard one for so many people to take. If they've worked at things, or, you know, a woman has worked on the home and created the nest and maybe spent years decorating and building and getting it just right, and she has to give up that home and go and live in a little house somewhere, a flat, and feel so aggrieved and hurt by what's happened.
Yep.
And all those things are understandable, and you can understand the reasons why someone holds hatred and negativity, but it's not an excuse. There are no excuses. All of us have to learn to face up to things and to let go of it, because it doesn't do any of us any good. And by any of us, I mean the whole of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It feeds into this negative pool of energy.
Yeah, there's a big knock-on effect, eh?
Yeah, for everybody.
To everyone in your life.
Yeah, and that's what these people, for me, are teaching us, if we have the eyes and the ears to actually take it on, is that there is an alternative to that negative way of looking at things.
Yeah.
You know? And we're coming up now to the whole idea of Christmas, and whether you look at that from a Christian point of view or if you look at it from a more pagan point of view, what you have is you have the darkest night, so you have the longest night, and which ends, and we start to get shorter nights and longer days. So the idea is the end of the darkness and the beginning of the light. And that has all kinds of emotional and psychological ramifications, if you think about it. You know,
yeah.
the end of the darkness. If you're thinking about Nelson Mandela, one of the things that you were saying was about, was it the fact that he was in prison for so long that enabled him to reflect on things, that took him from being the terrorist to being the peacemaker? Mm-hmm. And is that the step from the darkness into the light?
Yeah.
And all of us, from my point of view, psychologically, emotionally, are on that journey.
Mm,
you know, we're all moving that way.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were this week going to talk about how to be alone, and some people can deal with it better than others. We'll do it next week instead. But Mandela obviously used that alone time, because he was solitary confinement for quite a bit of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he wasn't allowed access to news or anything that, because he was cut off from the world completely, so just with his own thoughts. Some people are able to deal with that. Some people will just go... Well, they'll lose it completely, won't they?
Yeah.
So how could he deal with it? So I'm trying to think what lessons to be learned there. Maybe mandatory years imprisonment for everyone between the age of 21 and 25. You've got to go to jail for a year.
Well, my meditation beings, if you go and do 10 days in silence, I mean, 10 days for some people is a killer. They can't do it. After two or three days, they'll run out.
Past nothing.
Yeah. But to spend 10 days where you do not talk to anybody, you don't open your mouth.
That's hard work. Do you struggle? Struggle, but the first couple of days are tricky, right?
I think that the problems in it are not about the process for me. It's what happens is that when you cut off external stimulus, the only noise is internal noise, and any unresolved rubbish in you starts to come out.
When you haven't got that iPad whistling at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think it's gone off once already today.
Yeah, yeah. People are always saying to me, I could hear a bird whilst I was doing the podcast. It's my iPad again, tweet, tweet. It's people sending me messages. Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things for me would be that, I mean, you were talking about aloneness and Nelson Mandela being cut off from things like news. If you turn on the news and you listen to the news is about negativity. The news isn't about positivity. It's never about, hey, you know what, there were 15 people in London who had a really good time yesterday. It's not that. It's about the 15 people who had a really bad time. That's what we call news.
Yep.
So we focus on that negative bit. And it's all that negativity that builds up in us that becomes violence.
Mm.
Yeah. And if we get into a bit of love... I mean, all of us need to be informed, but we don't need to be inundated. We need to be aware of what's going on in the world, but we don't need to keep ruminating on all the negative stuff that's going on.
Nope.
Because you end up believing that the world is full of negativity, and it's not.
And there are cool services out there. I think of Resource of the Week from ages ago, Upworthy.com.
Yep.
Which you subscribe to their list and Twitter, blah, blah, and they'll send you good news every day. Some really inspiring stuff.
Yeah.
So that's one way that you can start to...
Yeah,
shift
but
things.
If you're mindful and you're living in the moment and you are really awake to what's going on around you, there's magical things happening every moment of the day. I mean, the fact that the sun's shining, or the fact that we're sat in this room, the fact that we're warm, we're safe and we're secure, the fact that we've got iPads that go tweet and there's a microphone. I mean, it's all amazing stuff if we see it that way, as opposed to just seeing it as, well, just stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it is amazing, the world that we live in, if we're tuned in that way. And how lucky are we, and what a wonderful world it is. Or we can play the other game and go and say about how negative it is and how deprived we are.
Yeah.
And then we can all moan. And then,
well, how hard we're working, and we didn't get in till 11 o'clock last night, and I was up at 6 for networking. Oh my!
But
gosh.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Easy to say, tricky to do, so it takes a bit of work. You've cracked it. But
There's times when I get negative, like anybody. You know, there's times I think, But, you know, in the main, life's okay. It's good. It's a good experience being alive. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah? And if we could all get a bit of woo, a bit of happiness, woo, come on, yeah, the whole world would lift right up. Yeah? It's dead easy. To me, it's like if you've got a basket full of coals and you can get one hot coal in there and it's hot enough, it will gradually settle the other coals alight and they will all become hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's for anybody who is a positive frame of mind, who can get a bit of woo going for themselves, that's the role in life, is you need to go in amongst the coals that are black and dark and cold and warm them up.
Yeah.
Get it going. Get a bit of energy going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what these iconic figures do. You know, I mean, how many people... I'm sure there's people that will be slagging off Nelson Mandela and telling you all the awful things that he did.
Yeah,
and I'm sure in his life he wasn't a saint.
If you're ever brave enough to venture into the comments section of a YouTube video, which is always full of rather interesting stuff, I wouldn't recommend it. On your average Mandela video at the moment, just look down and you'll see negative stuff there straight away.
Yep.
But we're talking about legacy, aren't we? And in some ways... maybe this isn't right, but maybe you can just be oblivious to all the bad stuff because he's died now, and his legacy, whether people like it or not, is going to be positive. So why don't we just hold on to that and learn from the good stuff, eh?
I think that if all of us are honest and we all accept who we are, all of us have done negative things. Yeah, and maybe some people have done very negative things. And I can remember being in the prison service and working with people who had done very bad things, but whilst in the prison service had got themselves a degree or even a PhD and came out of prison and did really good work.
Mm-hmm.
And you could never say that they didn't do the bad things, because they did. But the fact that they turned their lives around and did lots of positive work afterwards is something that you can't deny either. And that idea that as long as each of us is getting better at what we're doing all the time, then in the end we're all pretty good. That doesn't mean we may start in a very dark place. So my definition of a good teacher, a good doctor, a good IT designer, yeah, anything, is someone who's getting better at it. Because if we're always working at getting better at what we do, then in the end we're going to be pretty bloody good.
Yep.
Yeah, and that doesn't matter who we are, what we are. Whether that's being a mother, whether it's being a father, whether it's being a partner, whether it's being a manager. As long as we're consciously in mindfulness working and getting better, then the world gets a better place all the time.
Right.
But that responsibility is ours.
Yeah, we're not all going to, when we finally turn up our heels, we're not all going to have funerals where 90,000 people show up in a stadium. you can still...
I don't know. I think we should...
Well, you and I, perhaps.
Yes, yeah. We'll have to book Liverpool Stadium.
But you don't need that in order to leave a good legacy, do you, and in order to have left the world having done good things.
No. And how many times do you see families where a relevant person has died and has had such an amazing positive effect on their family, on their generation,
yeah,
on the generation coming up, and everybody remembers them with such reverence? You know, what a lovely person they were. And that's an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
That's no different to being a Nelson Mandela. It's just being on a different scale, maybe.
Yeah. You know?
But that's okay. It's good.
Yeah.
Good.
Cool. And yeah. What was a good news story recently, I think, is a World War One soldier, I think. I think he was World War One. There aren't many of them left now, are there? Those guys. Died, but he didn't have any family. And he'd been living in a care home. No family, no kids around. Not even any cousins or anything, I think. And someone put an advert from the care home in the paper or put it online to say, oh, this chap's died, he's got no one to come to his funeral or
come and
show your support. And hundreds of people showed up to support him. Amazing.
Yeah.
Emotional stuff. But
But that, the power of the collective consciousness of human beings is amazing. And that's the positive bit for me about things like Facebook, is things like Facebook can mobilise amazing positivity.
Yeah. We'll talk about that next week, because people slag Facebook, Twitter off. In some ways, they're what right to, but these services aren't. They don't have conscience. They're only as good as the people that use them. That's what I'm going to be talking about.
But that's like a knife, isn't it? A knife doesn't have any consciousness. It's a tool, and it can either be used to kill somebody or to create a work of art.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's neutral.
Work of art with a knife. What kind of art are you looking at?
Sculpting. carving. Okay. That kind of stuff. Beautiful things. Not carving people.
You can't sculpt with a knife. Yeah,
of course you
like
can.
A hammer and a chisel.
No. Lots of carvers use flexible knives. And they whittle things.
Oh, whittling, yeah.
Whittling.
Yeah. I like a good whittle.
I always thought you were a whittler.
So we've been rambling a bit on this one, but it's been a good chat. But have you got any self-help tips based on that?
Well, I think that from that point of view of being positive, my thing is use your energy to create love, not war. No, create positive, not negative. It doesn't matter whether it's the person behind the counter in the shop, whether it's your partner, whether it's the people that you work with. Make sure that the things you do lead to positive outcomes.
Yep.
Yeah? The second thing for me is what we would call step one, which is learning to let go of the past. And if you haven't got the book Live in the Present, you need to, because everybody in the world should read it and do it.
Yep.
Yeah? And step number one is letting go of any negative attachments to anything in your past and let it go, so you can start to live in the present and create the world that you want.
Yeah, that's key.
But most importantly, look at what you think and you feel before you speak, before you act. Actually live consciously and try and create positive stuff around you, not a mess.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. And everybody has that human creativity to do it. It's a choice, but we have to make sure we're making the choice.
Yeah, not all of us are lucky enough to have lucky. To have 28 years in prison to think about things, you might have a few seconds to think something over before replying.
Yeah. I think I'd rather not do the 28 years in prison, if you don't mind.
No, I'll see. Yeah, now I get your point. You've got to just take a little bit of time before you reply to things and before you react to a situation. Hey?
Yeah. Yeah, and we all have the capacity to do that. And that's not to do with being, you know, clever, smart, rich, poor. It's all of us, all the time. We have a choice, moment by moment, what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we have to take that choice and make the world different.
Yep.
Yeah.
So go out there and get some good stuff tonight.
Yeah.
We've got a resource of the week, Sean.
Well, it has to start off with Nelson Mandela's autobiography, which is about a long walk to freedom.
Mm.
And that is a good story. It's a good story that has a positive ending.
Yep.
So it's dark to the light for me. And that's also on a DVD, which is around on Amazon. But the other one for me is if you just go onto Amazon or Google Martin Luther... for Martin Luther King's stories, and there are lots of DVDs out there about what he did, how he did it, and some of them are documentaries, some of them are more biographical stories, you know. But again, an iconic figure.
Yeah.
yeah, that did very positive things non-violently. Mm-hmm. And of course, you have as your resource that amazing.
Yeah, I watched this last night. Yeah, Gandhi. There was. Yeah. My resources on both Hollywood's take on things, but Gandhi, 1982, the movie, and Invictus, which was 2009, I think. Which has got, I think it's got Morgan Freeman as Mandela,
right,
and Matt Damon as the captain of the South African rugby team,
the rugby Springboks, yeah.
Which,
yeah,
Mandela, but that was another cool thing. He's recognised the power of sport to bring people together.
Yeah,
well, rugby was a big white dominated sport in South Africa and around the world, really. Yeah. Well, maybe not so much, but Mandela kind of, rather than shunning rugby, embraced it, and he wore the Springbok shirt with the white guy's captain's name on his back and all that, and embraced it. And in, I think it was 1995, was the World Cup was in South Africa.
Mm.
Amazing event.
Mm.
And that movie tells the story of it in a Hollywood kind of way, but it's a really cool film.
Yeah.
So watch that. And yeah, the other tip is just go on YouTube and just search for Mandela's speech, Martin Luther King's speech, and just wash yourself in all these cool concepts.
Yeah. And live it.
Yeah.
Make it your life. Mm-hmm. You shine like a light for other people.
I do.
That's, yeah. Oh, you do. Definitely. For me.
People say that. Yeah. That's all. I know. I should put that on my business card.
I am a shining light.
Right, so, okay, anything else, Sean? Any other business?
No, I'm cool. I'm good.
Yeah, that's good.
I've got a million things to do before Christmas.
Well, we better get to it. We've talked about lots of cool things. If you go to livingthepresent.co.uk... find the show notes for this week's episode, which is episode 28. You'll find all the links to everything we've just discussed. If you're on our email list, you'll already have them because we send them out the day that the show gets released. If you want to go on that list, put your email address in our website and we'll email you weekly. No more than that, promise. We won't spam you. yeah, we love iTunes reviews. We've had another one from Daff this week, who's all finally right, got around to doing it. I coerced
him after
a couple of glasses of wine, showed him how to do it. So if you could do that, that would be great. Leave us some feedback, good or bad, because we want to make this show as good as it can be. And lastly, if you could just share this show with a friend, if you share our website livingthepresent.co.uk on Facebook, on Twitter, or by email with someone that you think might appreciate it, which is everyone, because we all want to get better, don't we, Sean?
Yeah, I do.
Then we'd love that. So that would be awesome. I think we're about done, Sean.
Yeah, that's okay. It's good for me.
So next week, loneliness.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be here on your own.
It's going to be just me. Imagine that. The guy who reviewed us last week, who wants to hear less of me and more of you, wouldn't be happy with that, would he? It's swine. I still want to find out who that was. I thought it was you, probably, just whining me up.
That's a good idea. I could do that. I should send another one in under another name.
But let's go. Should we go to work, Sean?
Yeah, okay.
Have a good week.
Care. Yeah, bye, everybody.
See you later.